Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, what a Wednesday. It's Rumor and Innuendo, and I am Dominic D'Angelo of SEScoops.com, AdFreeShows.com, and I'm here with Robert Karpolis, WD Creative underscore ish, for a live, as usual, episode of Rumor and Innuendo. Robert, good to see you.
Okay, there's live, and then there's Dom jumped on 30 seconds before we had to go live, so I was not paying attention when he logged in. I'm just looking now live, and those of you watching are seeing Dominic D'Angelo's mustache needs to be at least 500 feet away from his school at any given point in time.
Hey, look, I'm going through my Billy Graham kung fu phase right now. So watch out, baby.
You look like a Mario brother.
What are you talking about? Let's go.
Right. We'll say hi to a couple folks here in the chat. 6ix9ine says, can't wait to get a lesson from the learning tree tonight. Man, some men just like to watch the world burn. Joseph Wade Walters, morning, fellas. Dom's cat breath smells like cat food.
What?
Gray Simpson's reference. It's not Dom's cat's mouth that we're generally worried about seeing on year.
No.
Lou, 4237 says, happy Tuesday. Bring on the belt talk. All right, we're going to have to ban Lou.
I got it for you, Lou.
You're gone. You're gone. Lastly, we'll start with Travis Wadlow. Let's effing go. Rumor and Innuendo. Dude, we got a hell of a show lined up for you, Dom. I'm doing your job for you because I know we're going to talk NXT. We're going to talk AEW. We're going to talk a number of different legal matters. So I will be billing each one of you at the $1,500 an hour rate that I'm generally billed at. But Dom, where are we starting today?
Well, being Wednesday, I guess we start on AEW Dynamite and the fallout that will happen from AEW Dynasty this past Sunday. Headline of the card is a world title match, Robert. The world title match, I think. You know, Jon Moxley, the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, defending his gold against Powerhouse Hobbs in the main event. So we got that. Oh, and I guess their new world champion, Swerve Strickland, he's in action too, taking on Kyle Fletcher in a world title eliminator match, which means just number one contendership match. Plus, there's some other stuff on the card, but let's tackle those two things first. What do you think about that? Starting off for fallout of AEW Dynasty.
So, yeah, they're going to have the IWGP title match that they set up last week. Moxley and Hobbs. I guess this is a way to pivot the Blackpool Combat Club further into their feud with the Don Callis family. Maybe we'll get a little bit of fallout from what happened with Ospreay and Danielson. You know, was Ospreay aware of the referee calling for the doctor? Was he not? We're going to start seeing that fracture a little further. I'll be curious to see what happens with Moxley and Hobbs. I think Powerhouse Hobbs really is a star of the future, and the match that Jon Moxley can get out of him can really do a lot. The other big star of the future is Kyle Fletcher. And doing a championship eliminator match with him and Swerve again shows that Shane Strickland is going to be dealing with the Don Callis family going forward, as he should. Maybe a little bit of an uneasy alliance with the Blackpool Combat Club, but I think Fletcher is incredibly talented. I think Swerve is going to get a hell of a match out of him. I know it's the title eliminator, which means we're trying to use Tony Khan math, that if you win this, you get a title shot. I would be very hesitant to beat my world champion on his first night on Dynamite, but I'm excited a little bit for the Swerve era. I feel like it's going to be his show, I hope, if they pull back on the IWGP title stuff. Long hair guy rolls by the window. He's excited to be here too. They need it for that thing over your lip. The comments in the air, by the way, Antonio Santos says the mustache is distracting. And then Travis Wabo says, Dom's mustache, not the man himself, looks like more kids than Hulkamania. Oh, man. And then Craig McManus with the old school. Is Dom ultimately going for the big bully Busick look?
Pittsburgh zone.
Get you a bowler hat. What else is set up for Dynamite? I know one other thing set up for Dynamite, but what else we got here?
My goodness. We got some segments here, Robert. Chris Jericho. You're gonna get under the learning tree of Chris Jericho tonight,
whether you want to or not. You will sign that NDA once you come out the other side.
So he's speaking after his FTW championship win. Hey, and plus, we're gonna get a real humdinger with the best friends confrontation going down. We got Orange Cassidy, we got Trent, and we got Chuck Taylor. Whose friend is who in this situation? And then on top of it, we got Willow Nightingale's TBS title celebration. Those are the segments that they had listed going on. So anything really catch your eye there, Robert, besides this mustache?
Besides the mustache, yes. The Jericho under the learning tree. It's called the learning tree because when the fans in the arena see it, they want a leaf. I'm joking. I'm kidding. They just want to get the hell out of there. It's going to be super awkward. It's going to go very long. I thought that this was the way they were going to reintroduce Sammy Guevara. I just don't want to see this version of Chris Jericho. I want to see the going away for a while Chris Jericho version, not this. The best friends segment. They do it's so start and stop that it's very hard to really sink your teeth into this story. Yeah. I think Trent has done a great job as a heel. He has that menacing look. Chuck Taylor's facial expression during the turn was so goofy that it was hard to take it seriously. Like, his facial expression was almost akin to your mustache. And the Blue Meanie chiming in about your mustache, saying, Dom's mustache just wrote me a ticket for doing 70 in a 55. You are the lost third member of Chips.
That's it.
We're continuing the streak of every time Blue Meanie's on, it's just old TV shows. So you are the Eric Estrada of this show, sir, the heartthrob. Willow Nightingale, there was no way to segue back in, but Willow Nightingale, it's going to be the Mercedes Moné face off, and then a lot of Hercule Poirot style, j'accuse over who may or may not have attacked Mercedes Moné. Guys, I'd be shocked if it was Chris Statlander. I would be gobsmacked.
Yeah,
I would not be. I would lose sleep over such a mind-blowing. It's going to be Chris Statlander, isn't it?
Could be Jamie Hayter.
It would be cool if it was Jamie Hayter. I'd love that it was just Jamie Hayter's birthday the other day, but we have not had any update insight into anything going on with Jamie and her current status. I'd love to see her back. I'd love to see her at full capacity. And guys, if you're looking to be back, if you're looking to be at full capacity, if you're looking to put on a main event performance, have we got something to talk about? Because this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. Guys, I've not been shy about the fact that it is Passover that this week, which means I cannot have any leavened bread. I can't have any bread that has risen, but you know what can still rise? You want to slip your gal the gimmick this Passover? We want to recommend Blue Chew. It's kosher for Passover, folks, and it wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. Part your gal like the Red Sea. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code Rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo. Wow.
How about that? Thank you, Blue Chew. Anything else that you kind of think that really Tony Khan, AEW, should kind of really make a concerted effort to do this week? The ratings dropped after airing that footage, as we probably expected. Everybody probably expected. Here, you're coming off of Dynasty. What do you else you really want Tony Khan to hammer home here this Wednesday to kind of catch some eyes on, David?
I mean, you want to have a focus on your new champion, your new era, when in reality, we're going to probably get a segment involving the Young Bucks and the Scapegoat and a lot of rehashing of all that stuff that kind of almost popped the rating for a week. It'll be interesting to see what Jack Perry does, how they're going to set the tone for this new version of the Elite. And they've got a pay-per-view. I don't know when the next show is coming up. But Dom will get on that crack research. But we know Tony Khan. It's he either books a match 3 months in advance, then we have to hear about it constantly, or he forgets until the week of, and then we get seven matches added to the card. Joseph Wade Walters asking, you know, MJF returned to face Swerve. I don't know that we necessarily need Max right now. I think you need Swerve to hold that title for a little while, because Here's the biggest challenge you're running into. You've got Wembley coming up later in the year. That feels like the show where you want to anoint Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
It's kind of why I thought the title was going to stay on Joe, because you need a strong heel for Ospreay to beat. You could do Ospreay and Swerve, but it becomes babyface. And me personally, from a booking perspective, I like to make it abundantly clear who that crowd should be cheering. And when you get a babyface match, say you do babyface Swerve versus babyface Ospreay, and the crowd hears that it's 90% Ospreay or 95% Ospreay, it kind of damages the other babyface even when they return, that they're somewhat lesser than. Plenty of options, plenty of opportunities between now and then. I think Swerve needs a strong first opponent going into fill-in-the-blank pay-per-view that we have coming up. So,
Double or Nothing, May 26th.
Double or Nothing, May 26th. Super excited. Obviously, it's on the tip of my tongue. Could not be more excited for Double or Nothing, May 26th. That's in Vegas, right?
That's in Vegas. Yeah, close to where I work for the police office, the department, Reno 911. So.
Oh, there we go. Yes, Reno 911. Though someone threw out a Super Troopers reference as well. Antonio Santos said you were the forgotten Super Trooper. You got to keep the mustache now. It's a part of the show. It's the best part of the. It's going to be the best part tomorrow when we're talking about Dynamite. Because anytime I'm going to feel sad about Tony Khan's booking, I'm just going to look over and I'm going to be like, you know what?
Hey,
there is joy in the world, Dom. There was joy last night one individual.
Yeah, Trick Williams is your new NXT champion, beating Ilya Dragunov clean in the ring for the 1-2-3. He is your new champion. What a journey for Trick Williams. Just like he was the hype man, basically, starting off for Carmelo. And here he is. he's the flag bearer of NXT right now. I got to catch his promo after the match too, backstage. Really like just heartfelt and matter of fact. It's pretty exciting era for NXT starting off here, and he's charging it up there, Robert.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to see it. We kind of knew something was up when Ilya Dragunov was on the Raw after Mania and said he was declaring for the draft. So he was going to have to lose that title one way or the other, whether it was relinquishing or pinning it. You always like to see somebody go out on their sword. You like to see somebody, you know, putting over the next generation, for lack of a better term. And Trick Williams is what NXT is about. He is a guy who was given an opportunity. It caught fire very, very quickly. Crowd enjoyed chanting for him. And more importantly, he's someone that when you make that transition over to the CW, you're going to be able to put him front and center on commercials, on billboards. I can see, you know, pictures of Trick Williams on the top of taxi cabs throughout New York. He's an attention-grabbing guy. He's got that airport test look to him. He's got fan support. And NXT is the developmental system. It's right. Still the younger talent. It's the guys that you want to see, you know, nurtured and cultivated. And we have seen with the CW the tremendous success of Billy Corgan's NWA. I mean, we can't stop talking about it.
Not at all.
One can stop talking about it. It is the hottest promotion in all of wrestling. But yeah, in all seriousness, thrilled for Trick. Great opportunity for him going forward. Ilya Dragunov is going to do some real damage on the main roster, and that's going to be fun to see.
Absolutely. He'll be a very interesting added element to the product, whether he's going up against somebody like, you know, a Ludwig Kaiser, Gunther, you name it. There's going to be some cool matchups there set for him. Yeah, the draft is right around the bend. We'll be covering that later on this, not this show, but episodes in the future, if you will.
Friday, we'll be starting to talk about the where we think the draft is going to shake up.
The competition's high, and I tell you what, there might be some non-compete going down moving forward too, Robert, because the Huffington Post, David Jameson, reported that the FTC voted 3-2 to obey non-compete agreements in employer contracts. It's noted that 3 FTC Democrats voted for it, while 2 Republicans were against it. The expectation is that prohibiting the non-compete clause will lead to more leverage for workers in the job field. However, The Hill's Taylor Giomo also reported on the historic vote and shared that it can go into effect in 120 days. However, business groups are expected to oppose the ruling to prevent it from going into effect. So if you're a fan of Cameron Grimes, if you're a fan of Von Wagner, or if you're a fan of Jinder Mahal, you might have to wait a little bit still. But Robert, being the lawyer here of this show, what's this do for you here in regards, and what's this mean for the future of pro wrestling in general?
Kids, we're going to go down a rabbit hole.
Oh, let's get excited.
Let's do it. Let's get strapped in. All right.
Yes.
Non-competes are generally judged by time, territory, and scope. Those are the three areas you're looking at: how long it is, how wide it is, and what you are or are not allowed to do. I have drafted non-competes. I have been under non-competes. There is a motivation within corporate America with businesses that they are training people, they are teaching people, they are instilling in them a certain degree of their working knowledge that they don't want those people to then go take those skills and make them portable and go someplace else. So go from, I'll just make it very easy, you go from Microsoft to Google, and you're going to say, hey, look, I'm going to teach you all the things I learned in broad strokes, obviously not violating any sort of confidentiality, but I was trained one place to go someplace else. The non-compete clauses that generally exist within WWE contracts and wrestling contracts, because they are independent contractors, typically the way that they have worked and operated, and I'm not saying it's how it is now, is that during those 90 days, you are essentially compensated. They're letting you know 90 days in advance, hey, your contract is not going to continue. We're going to pay you for the next 90 days. And as long as you are being paid and compensated to sit at home for those 90 days, that would theoretically be exempt from the non-compete initiatives that are being put forth here. Typically, what you would see is, you know, I work in the tech sphere, so you don't want your engineer to go to, if your company makes, I don't know, laptops, you don't want them to go to another laptop company, and you give them a, hey, you have a year and you're not allowed to go anywhere within the United States, and they're thinking it's depriving you of your ability to go earn a living. When it comes to the wrestlers, when it comes to the talent, that 90-day non-compete clause, if they're being compensated for it, I don't see courts wanting to strike something like that down. If they're saying you're fired today, you're not allowed to work for 90 days, you're not allowed to earn any income whatsoever, that's what these courts are trying to prevent. I think there's going to be enough of a groundswell across corporate America to try to squash this initiative anyway that I will be pretty surprised. I spoke to one of my good friends, happens to be an employment attorney, and he said he does not think that this thing is necessarily going to survive or survive fully intact. So I don't think this means we're going to see Jinder Mahal on AEW tonight. You may see Veer, because there is one man that cannot be held back by contracts, that cannot be held back by the laws of physics, and that is the greatest professional athlete of all time, Veer.
That's correct. Former Pittsburgh Pirate, by the way. So
keep and Johnny Disco hits the nail on the head. Start watching wrestling. Starting watching for the wrestling news, staying for the employment law. I'm sure that's all the legal talk that we have set up for today, right, Dom?
Yeah, Robert, you're right. No.
Damn
nope.
It.
Hold the phone. We are going into arbitration. Actually, Vince McMahon has filed for arbitration. Hey, pal.
God damn.
Brandon Thurston and Post Wrestling are reporting about this. They said, and Janelle Grant's attorney has fired back with this arbitration thing, saying Vince McMahon has never known a storyline he doesn't twist to fit his own shameful narrative. Her father was in home hospice during the final days, where Janelle continued to care for him around the clock. Prior to his death, she has been caring for her blind, wheelchair-bound mother. Using grief of someone who lost both her parents is an all-new level of disgusting. That's what she filed over to Post Wrestling there. Robert, give us a little bit of the details behind this arbitration process.
Sure.
What can we expect here moving forward with this Vince McMahon controversy, all this stuff, malarkey going down?
Malarkey. Look at you. So here's the deal. So she was under the NDA and was being compensated for it, feels she's owed additional compensation. It's sort of the basis of the suit. Within that NDA is something called an arbitration clause, which essentially means if there is a dispute for this, you go in front of a private mediator. Both parties have agreed in advance. Sometimes you enter into any sort of agreement, you're saying, hey, you're not immediately allowed to sue. You have to go to arbitration. You have to sit down both parties with a professional mediator, professional arbitrator, and you're going to hash out the dispute. The idea is you don't want to burden the court with these sorts of matters that can be dealt with elsewhere. I have been part of arbitration, obviously working in professional sports. I have sat in mediations. They are generally very helpful in getting the parties to the resolution that they need. Vince's attorney's arguments are that the what was filed by Janelle Grant's attorney was so over the top, crazy in what she was asserting, with the specificity and the details that they maintain are not at all true. But the granular details, the things that we know that may or may not have transpired between those two parties, is so shocking to the system that Vince would not be able to get a fair trial anywhere. When you go in front of an arbitration setting, you're sitting with a mediator, whatever that may be, they don't really care. Their goal is get these parties to a conclusion where neither party is necessarily going to be fully happy, but you're going to find some sort of resolution and the suit goes away. So if Janelle Grant's intent was that she wanted to be compensated, you sit down, she's going to say, I want $100 million. Vince Desai is going to say, we're going to pay you $50 and you'll get a month of free Peacock. And then they find a way in the middle to solve this. She wants this to go to open court because you want to be able to, for lack of a better term, embarrass Vince further. She's not realizing Vince is a soulless monster who does not care unless he's handing out puppies and kitties that he got from the Caribbean. Mm.
But other than that, you know, he's trying to preserve some degree of his, you know, integrity. And I'm sure somewhere in his mind, he thinks if he beats this, he gets to come back because he beat the U.S. government and he got to come back. So if he can make this go away, maybe there's a path for him to return to the WWE. Arbitration is also going to help in terms of getting him a much lower number than if you put this in front of a jury and you hear Janelle Grant's story and you hear
It's a woman who was taking care of her sick and dying parents. This is a woman who needed employment and then found herself in the clutches of a very powerful, very evil man who threatened her, her life, her livelihood, has an army of lawyers, has a way to completely destroy her, and pushed her into this this life of indentured servitude. That's going to resonate with the jury, and they're going to want to give a huge amount of money. In arbitration, that's not going to happen. My colleague, Mr. Adam Goodman, says you can give him 3 months of free Peacock. Not a bad deal.
Deal.
Good chance to catch Bupkis, written by WrestleRoast's own Mike Lawrence.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, about that.
Robert, where do you see this kind of going? Do you think it's going to get settled out of court here, or you think it is going to go to trial? We're going to see some more stuff unfold. What if you had to put your lawyer hat on for this? What would you think?
It depends on what they really want as the outcome. If the goal is quick cash, make this thing go away, then you go sit down with the arbitration. If you want this to be a major public reckoning, then you're going to fight this and you're going to want everything aired. So it depends on what Janelle Grant wants. It depends on what her lawyer wants. It depends on, you know, sort of who is fueling this. You look at the Hulk Hogan Gawker case, and that was being financed by Peter Thiel. It was being financed by individuals who wanted to do greater harm to Gawker. So it's a lot of different motivations going in place. You're going up against a very public figure. It's going to be really interesting to see what winds up happening. And I'm sure Paul Triple H Levesque will be rooting for whatever keeps Vince as far away from his office as humanly possible.
Yes, yes. Hey, speaking of those allegations that have been thrown Vince's way, we had a WWE Hall of Famer talk about that as of recent, who has been very polarizing in the news, both on AEW's end and in WWE's end, and that is the man, Bill Goldberg. He was speaking on 93.7 The Ticket the other day, and he actually brought up...
You had to plug the radio station?
That's
hey,
what
guys,
I
you're listening to 93.7 The Ticket. I don't even know where that is.
I don't either. They didn't say it on there.
Oh, but now I'm looking it up.
Robert Goldberg, easy to kind of... you guys have the same
goal. You're trying to imply that all Jews are the same.
No, not at all.
I'm just it looks like they're in Nebraska.
Wow. Okay.
93.7 The Ticket.
Go call Cora.
Audio as high as an elephant's eye. It's the only place where they just have terrestrial radio. They don't have TV. They don't have podcasts out in Nebraska. It's literally just radio and then the plains.
That's it. And Goldberg had to say, the allegations and the things that have come to the forefront over the past 6 months or a year, I have no comment on it. It's not my place. And then he added...
Really? This is the one time Bill Goldberg decided to hold his tongue?
That's it. He held
the man up. Has not... I...
So he says, too, he adds, I think that the current owners of WWE are going to make decisions
of WWE.
Of WWE. Are going to make decisions.
It's such a weird Pittsburgh thing now. I can't unhear it ever. You can't unring this bell. Sorry, Bill Goldberg said, I think that the current owners of the WWE are going to make decisions based upon what they believe. And I think the decisions they have made have been favorable for the masses. Because the audience has yelled a resounding, we don't want to see a Bill Goldberg retirement match. Please go away. So... it does feel a little bit like he's trying to, you know, ingratiate himself to the current administration. We know Hunter and Goldberg were not the best of friends a long time ago, but Triple H is willing to do what's best for business. Bill is going to try what he can to keep himself relevant. He's also going to hedge his bets and not bury Vince on the off chance that Vince McMahon is back. And then Bill can say, hey, you know, I'd love to get another match. I've never been a big Goldberg guy, and I think part of it is you just know his motivations are solely for monetary gain. Sure. It is he was not a wrestling fan. He didn't love what he was doing. And there's lots of guys who are very much like that. There's a lot of, you know, people still on TV today that are paycheck motivated more than anything else. He's been the most overt about it. And when he stepped away from wrestling the first time, he was extremely vocal about how much he did not like what he was doing. So what you want to see is a guy get a last match, who cares about his career, who cares about his legacy. Sting is obviously the first one that comes to mind. There's a couple of guys who I think are going to be winding it down in the next couple of years that you really want to see them go out properly. Even Jericho. I'd like to see Jericho go out on his own terms. For as much as we, you know, gently and politely and respectfully chide Chris Jericho, man has contributed a tremendous amount to wrestling over the last several decades. He deserves a chance to go out on his own terms. Very few truly do. Bill wanting a last match is another cash grab.
Well, I've always been a pretty big advocate for Goldberg because he was like the first wrestler I met as a kid. So he was somebody that was always a big deal to me. And so the money aspect, it is kind of part of pro wrestling. And that's the primary thing, is making money. So I'm kind of okay with that. And he's been a self-admitted.
I'm all for wanting to make money.
Yes.
It's when you have no respect or regard for the art form in which you're making money that it becomes that much more difficult to root for him. When there's a number of actors who they've done a work of art that they had, it was a pure paycheck. They had no passion for it, no desire for it whatsoever. It was just pay me my money. And it's very tough to watch that and be like, oh, I'm really excited to see Marlon Brando and Superman when he's made it clear that he did it just for the paycheck.
Right.
Actually, my weird plug, it'll come up later on down the road. My buddy Jared Eagle is doing a documentary about Orson Welles' participation in the Transformers cartoon. Wow. And how that played into his legacy. So we'll have him on one day to promote it. He's a big wrestling guy. But it's pervasive across art forms. Goldberg has been so open and notorious about it that it's really tough to be like, man, I really want him to get that moment, unless they can somehow get his last match against Brett. In which case, I will pay upwards of $12 to see that.
I want to see Goldberg versus Wardlow. Bring it to me. Bring it to me.
Oh God, no, no, no! That the way you book Wardlow, I almost think I'm talking to Tony Khan, but I'm not.
Hey, who's to say that Goldberg's not going to fall on his own sword?
Blue Meanie got one more shot in. Dom's mustache does it for the paycheck. Dom's mustache is the reason to tune in and watch this show live every Monday through Friday. But if you just want to hear Dom in audio form, where can the fine people hear you?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can find me at rvdtv.com. We had a new episode drop Monday, 4:20 p.m., as is every week. This week, we cover RVD's inspirations inside and outside the ring, from Lanny Poffo to Ultimate Warrior to Dominic DiNucci even. But we talk about DDP at great detail, too. And
I love that you opened with Lanny Poffo.
Yeah, well, that's who RVD was a big fan of starting off. It's
Leapin' Lanny. Love
Leapin' Lanny was his big guy. Mm-hmm. We want to make RVD frisbees. But go, if you want to do that and help us out, go to rvdtv.com. Hit like, hit subscribe. Check out some of the videos there and be sure to spread the word on that. Also, Straight Talk with the Boss, Magnum TA, Greg Gagne. We cover Hulk Hogan this week. It's a great episode. Check it out. That just dropped yesterday. Get some buzz going about that. Go to fourhorsemannetwork.com. Fourhorsemannetwork.com. Check that out. Robert, I'm sorry I stressed you out here beforehand, but we got some good stuff going on with WrestleRoast. What's happening there?
WrestleRoast drops every Friday wherever you get your podcasts. It is myself and three very talented professional comedians, Dan St. Germain, Mike Lawrence, and Scott Chaplin, as well as our intrepid producer, Dominic D'Angelo, who is here, as I said, every Monday through Friday live at noon Eastern. You can catch us every day at WWCreative_ISH on X, the Dominic D'Angelo X account, Podcast Heat X account. Podcast Heat is who makes this show possible, as well as SE Scoops. And we're on YouTube on Rumor and Innuendo. And for some reason today, not on ad-free shows.
They got a lawyer thing going on there, Robert. Another lawyer thing.
What the hell?
Believe it. You've been booted by another lawyer.
This the gimmick attorney, Andrew Dawkins.
It is.
Dawkins is going to hear about this from me. He will hear from my lawyer. we're coming for him. But more importantly, guys, on behalf of that mustache, I'm Robert Karpeles. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
It's-a me, Dominica.